Today is kind of coming to church, and there wasn't very many people here. It took me back to the time when COVID was so strong. Was it been 2 or 3 years ago now? And you know, they were asking the churches to be closed in the state of Iowa, and we were trying to honor that, but we were still trying to get the word out and getting sermons out to people online that they could go into Facebook or on the website and they could watch the sermons online. So me and Joe, we would meet at the lodge on a Saturday afternoon, and I would preach a sermon. It would just be me and Joe. Sometimes me, Joe, and Carol would be the only ones that would be there. And it just kind of reminded me that this morning when we started coming here, and there just wasn't very many people. We knew it was going to be a thin day today because of the weather, but it just kind of took me back to that time. The sermon title today is, What Percent Faithful Are You? What percent faithful are you? At Crossroads Gospel Church, we talk a lot about faith. And why is that? Because whatever we receive from God, we receive it by faith, believing. We are saved by or through our faith. We are healed by faith. We are delivered by our faith. We pray in faith, believing. When the Lord returns, He is looking for a church that is faithful. Faithful to His word, faithful in obedience to Christ. Our walk is a walk of faith. Walking in faith, believing in the truths of God's word, in obedience to and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I may not know much about end time events, or even be a theologian about heaven, but there is one thing that we should know a lot about, and that is faith, because we are called to walk by it daily. So let's review what faith is and what it isn't. We've talked about this before, and I want to go back there today. Webster Dictionary says this: faith is complete trust or confidence. That's all that it says. Webster Dictionary says that faith is complete trust or confidence, but no action is required in the dictionary. But that is not the biblical definition of faith. Biblical faith is believing with action. The correct biblical definition is acting upon what you believe to be true, which is the Word of God. So if you believe that the Word of God today is true, if you're going to walk in faith, then you're going to be acting upon that, on that belief, and that walking in faith in that you believe it to be true, and you're going to be responding to it in that way. So let's take a look at a couple of scriptures. Let's go to James chapter 2 and verse 14. James chapter 2 and verse 14. James chapter 2 and verse 14. In James chapter 2, in verse 14, it says, What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Now also in verse 17, Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. So does that mean I must work by works, I earn my salvation? And the answer is no. You are saved by grace. It is a gift of God. There's nothing that you can do to earn it, buy it, or deserve it. It's through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is saying, my faith must be accompanied by action. So if you look at verse 26 of that same chapter, chapter 2, verse 26, verse 26 says, For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. In Hebrews 11:6, if I turn back to Hebrews, which is just one book back from James, but if you go to Hebrews 11 and verse 6, and it says this, But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Without faith you cannot please God. Chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews has been titled many times, The Heroes of Faith. And you see that everyone that is listed there, in their faith there was action. They responded by faith in doing what they did. But faith without action, James tells us, is dead faith. Biblical faith requires action, or biblical faith requires a response on our part. Growing up, I believed in God and I believed in Jesus. So growing up, I believed in God and I believed in Jesus. So why wasn't I saved until I was 24 years old? Very simple question. If I believed in God and I believed in Jesus, that should have been enough. But the answer is, in the biblical definition of faith, it wasn't enough just to acknowledge it or intellectually believe it. Because I was not saved, and I knew I was not saved. When I got saved at 24, then I knew I was saved. Because my faith was dead. My faith was dead because there was never any action with it. I had a Webster Dictionary belief in God, but not a biblical belief. My belief needed to be put in action. So if you turn to Romans chapter 10 with me this morning, you can see how that faith can be put into action. So Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. In verse 8 it says, Romans 10 verse 8, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now when you look at verse 8, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Your action to faith in Jesus is confession. It's not just enough that you believe it up here, or in your mind that you believe that there is a God and there was his Son that died for us on the cross, and his name was Jesus. It's not enough that we intellectually believe that. And the Apostle Paul is bringing that out to us today, that biblical faith has action. There has to be an action to your faith. When you and I are praying, there is action to our faith because we are praying that it is going to be done in Jesus' name. It's not enough that we just think it, but we need to say it. In this scripture, verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What is the action? Your confession. Your confession. That if you confess with your mouth, verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, because your faith has action to it. That is biblical faith. Biblical faith speaks. In Mark 11 and verse 23, it shares with us, if there are mountains in your path, you need to activate your faith and you need to tell them to move. Just to think that they need to move is not enough, but you need to tell them that they need to move. In Matthew 12, verse 34, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you believe, you will speak. By your actions, we will see what you truly believe. Many in the world and many in the church today believe in Christ, but because they haven't confessed Christ as their Lord and Savior, they are relying on dead faith. Think about that. Because this is worldwide. This is United States wide. And the sad part of it is there are people that are sitting in church today that have never confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They may go to church, and they may thinking their works of going to church is going to get them to heaven. Their intellectual acknowledgement of God and their intellectual acknowledgement of Jesus is going to get them to heaven, but that's not what the Scripture says. With the heart believes, and confession is made with the mouth to bring salvation. So there, what the sadness of that is if the Lord Jesus is going to come back and you believe that the Lord Jesus is going to come back, we are all saying, come Lord Jesus. On the prophetic calendar, there isn't anything else that needs to be fulfilled. All has been fulfilled, and the next thing is the coming of the Lord. I'm ready for the Lord to come. I'm ready for the Lord to take me home. And if the Lord would come on a Sunday morning, you'll be surprised at the number of churches. Everyone in the church will still be sitting there. Because they have never activated their faith. They're relying on dead faith to get them to heaven. When you leave church today, go sit in your car and wait for it to start. Don't do anything, just sit there. And I'll drive by tonight and still see you sitting in the parking lot. Oh, you have faith your car's going to start. We've all had vehicles we didn't have faith in, right? You've been there? Oh, I pray this thing will start so I can get home. We've all been there. But everyone that probably came to church today, you believe that when you leave this church, you're going to walk out there and you're going to get in your car and it's going to start. The action is that faith is turning the key. Salvation in Christ, do you believe? Then confess. That's the key to receiving. But acting on our faith is not a one-time thing, is it? Every day you act on what you believe to be true. The Lord calls us to a life of faithfulness. Most people follow themselves. I know what's best, and I do what I want. You would have to agree with me that most people in the United States, or even in the world, is doing what they want. They are following themselves. The scripture is pointing to the fact that they put themselves on the throne of their own life. And our God is a jealous God. He's not going to share that throne with anybody. But we have put ourselves on the throne of our life because we know best and we know what needs to be done. Oh, they're faithful, but it's faithfulness to themselves. We have a nation of leaders that are doing that daily. Sad to say, a high percentage of church people spend more time following themselves than they do God. When Christ returns, He is looking for a church that has been faithful. A church that has been faithful, and the church is you and me. If you turn with me to Matthew 24, verse 36. Matthew 24 and verse 36. Matthew 24. Verse 36, and it says, Matthew 24, verse 36, get the right one, but of that day and the hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, verse 45, it says, who then is faithful and wise servant? Whom has the master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his master, when he comes, will find him so doing. I say to you that he will make ruler over his goods. Why? It's because verse 45, who then is faithful and wise servant? Who is wise? Who is faithful? Verse 47, and surely I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. The verse 45 finds him doing what? Being faithful. What does being faithful mean to you? As a follower of Christ, you're always striving in every situation to do God's will. Is that who you are? Faithful to His Word, being obedient to Christ. That is being faithful. Christ said at or in the garden, not my will, but thy will be done. He was faithful to the end. In your life today, what percent of the time are you being faithful to God? Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. What does that mean? That Jesus is faithful. He is unchanging. He is unmovable. Is that you? Do people know how you will react because of your faith? Are you faithful? Are you obedient to God's word? Do they know how you're going to react to almost any given situation because you're going to act in faith? Do people know where you're at Sunday morning? Are you obedient and faithful to God? My family doesn't need to question and see and wonder where I'm going to be on Sunday morning. If I can be there, I'm going to be in the house of the Lord. Is that you today? God blesses faithfulness. I'm not really able to get into the sermon that I wanted to preach today, but that's going to be next week. And the question is, why Mary? If Mary and Joseph, why Mary? And we're going to get into that next week. But a main reason that I see that Mary was used by God in the way she was to be the earthly mother of Jesus is because she was found to be faithful. Found to be faithful. In what area of your life today do you need to increase your faithfulness? And I think every one of us could answer that if we wanted to answer that. That there's probably an area, or knowingly, there is an area in my life I need to work on in my relationship with the Lord Jesus that I would become more faithful. Is every day a time when you make sure you find time to be in the Word of God, that you find time to do a devotion? I heard an illustration this last week on the radio. They were talking about it, and the whole story was about leftovers. And maybe today you're having turkey soup, or you're having turkey sandwiches, or it's whatever that you're having after Thanksgiving Day. And usually in our refrigerator, we've got all these leftovers that are piled up in there. After about 2 days, it's okay. I can eat turkey for 2 days. I can eat mashed potatoes for 2 days. I can do all those things. But after about the third day, man, I'm ready to change something else. But so many times when it comes to the Lord Jesus, we're only giving Him our leftovers. We're not giving Him our first fruits. We're not giving Him our very best. We give Him the leftovers of our life. And if we are giving Him the leftovers in our life, we are not being faithful. I have to be honest with you. We are not being faithful. Is Jesus a priority in your life? If He is a priority in your life will adjust to making sure that He is a priority. It is a priority that I read the Word of God every day. It is a priority that I spend time in prayer every day. That is a priority. You have to get to the point to say in your own life, I don't have time not to. Rather than saying, I don't have time to do it, I don't have time not to do it. Because my life will be better, my day will go better, my week will flow better, and God blesses faithfulness. He doesn't bless leftovers. Maybe in your life, I'm being honest with you. I used to go to church when I was a kid. Echo Jordan was my Sunday school teacher. I got family members that are related to her that are here today, church members. I'll still remember her teaching Sunday school for the long as I live. I'm sure as long as she lived, she remembered me. I was a terrible student. Because I did bad things. I was not a good kid. But she would always take the time. She was a very happy person. Always very positive. And I grew up in that church, and when I left that church, later on, we had a daughter. Somebody witnessed to me at Firestone when I was working at Firestone. And I felt the need that I needed to take my daughter to church. Carol and I, we went to church together. But I left that church not knowing Jesus. Grew up, got married when I was 16, Carol and I. But look how many years it was before I actually got saved. And you know what? I thought I was okay. I thought I was okay with the Lord. I believed in Him. But until that night at the Church of God, in Knoxville, I went to the altar and I confessed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I wasn't saved until then because I was not living my faith biblically, but it just acknowledging. There's a lot of people in the United States that acknowledge God. That number's less. We see it diminishing all the time. But there's a lot of people that acknowledge that there is a God. They may even acknowledge that there is a Jesus. They're still not saved because they've never activated that in their life to confess. The Father says, you believe in your heart, but you confessed with your mouth. See, at our church, at Crossroads Gospel, and I've been at churches, well, if you've accepted Jesus today, just fill out a card. and throw it in the offering plate. I mean, that's about as non-committal as you can make it. But to actually get up out of the chair and come forward, say, Jesus, I accept you. I need you, and I accept you as my Lord and Savior. It will change your life forever if you've never done that. Now, I'm not questioning anybody's salvation in this room, but it is my job to provide the opportunity that you're just not walking in dead faith, but you're walking in biblical faith, growing in your relationship with Jesus. I'd like for everybody to just close their eyes and bow their head just for a moment this morning. It's early. We're going to get you out of here early, but we need to ask this question. Let me pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I ask that your Holy Spirit would sweep over this place in only a way that you can. Father, we talked about that in CE this morning, that how sometimes you just don't feel very good. You don't feel like going to church, but when you always walk out the doors, you always feel so much better. It's because you sit under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God through His Word. Father, people are feeling that presence right now. And I pray that, Father, if there's one in here today that has not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior by believing it in their heart and confessing it with the mouth, I pray today that today would be the day of salvation. So I ask you that question today, church, while every eye is closed and every head is bowed. Do you believe and have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And if you have not made that public confession, we're going to give you that opportunity today. Would there be one here today by the signifying of the upraised hand? Pastor, pray with me today. I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I don't want to walk in dead faith anymore. I want to walk in the true faith of my Lord and my Savior today. I want to accept Him as Lord and Savior of my life. Would there be one today? Father, I pray that you would bless them and you would open the windows of heaven upon all of our church family. And Father, you would just pour out your blessings on each and every one of them. We today, as a church, we give you all praise, we give you all honor, and we give you all glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Father, we ask that your blessings would go with these people as they go out the doors, that you would bring us all back together as soon as possible. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You are dismissed, and we love you all.